Thank you, Barbara. It's good for me to have her playing. First good long while that I was here as a part of this evening service, Barbara played, and I appreciate it so much. I want to read from the book of 1 Kings tonight, 18th chapter. Beginning at verse 17. When Ahab saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" "I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's command and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Ashtaroth, who eat at Jezebel's table." So Abraham sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I'll prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire on it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire. He is God. Then all the people said, "What you say is good." Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire." So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. "O Baal, answer us," they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. "Shout louder," he said. "Surely he is a god. Perhaps he's indeed in thought, or busy, or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping. You must be awakened." So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying under the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold 2 shears of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood." "Do it again," he said, and they did it again. "Do it a third time," he ordered, and they did it the third time. The water ran down around the trench and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are the God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I'm sure you've been celebrating. Yesterday and today even, you've had all the traditional feasting and celebrating and fireworks and all of these things that we associate with the 4th of July. I hope that sometime we've stopped to give thanks to God for this country of ours. For we should remember with gladness the way God guided those responsible for the founding of our homeland. We're grateful to God for the strong leaders that He's raised up to guide us in times of crisis and peril. We rejoice in the freedom that is ours and the abundance we enjoy from the bounty of this good land. We thank God for the opportunities of loving service to His children around the world. All of us should offer hearty thanks for the godly heritage and tremendous blessings that are ours. Surely, surely God has blessed America, blessed us. But while we rejoice in our blessings, we must remember that to whom much is given, much will be required. What is the call of God to us and to these United States today? It seems to me that the scripture which I read a few moments ago, we have a message from God to each of us, to our nation. It seems to be a parallel between Israel then in our own country now. There was in Israel then, and I believe in America today, a crisis in the land. In Israel, the king Ahab had come to listen to his wife exclusively. Jezebel had allowed all kinds of false religions to come into the land. Jezebel was a Phoenician princess, and she established Phoenician worship on a grand scale in the court of Ahab. She had something going on there like a school for the prophets. She supported no less than 450 prophets of Baal and 400 of Asherah. 850 prophets ate at the table there in the palace every day. Prophets of Baal and Asherah. Also under her orders, the prophets of God in Israel were attacked and put to death. And of course, with this example of the king's household, the common people began to turn from the worship of God, the God of their fathers, to the worship of Baal and other false gods. Elijah came to believe that he was the only person who had remained faithful to God. But God reminded him that there were 7,000 people in Israel who had not bowed to Baal. 7,000 is a pretty large number, but when you think of a whole nation, a people that are supposed to be God's people, people that are supposed to be worshiping God, of the whole nation, 7,000 had not failed to worship God, but were being true. The great majority of the people, it seems, were indifferent, uncaring, undecided which way to go and which God to worship. Some lived in fear of both Jehovah and the Queen. They did not want to abandon the God of their fathers, and yet their fear of the Queen pushed them to the worship of Baal. Really, they were trying to play both ends and not offend either Jehovah or the Queen. They made their decision based, it seemed, on the circumstances of the moment. So this is the picture. The king's a puppet, the queen's in power and supporting foreign gods, and has at least 850 in her own household. The great mass of the people is unwilling to decide to follow or reject God. In the whole country, only 7,000 are left faithful, and Elijah is God's spokesman. Surely there's a crisis in the land. Were they to serve God or be established, and be established, or serve Baal and be destroyed? It seems rather astounding to me when Elijah gathered the people at Mount Carmel and threw out the challenge. How long holds you between two opinions? If Jehovah is God, serve Him. And if Baal is God, serve Him. And the people answered not a word. There was total silence. They weren't going to say one way or the other. There was a crisis in the land. Is there a crisis in our land? I never like to be negative. And I know there's so much that's wonderful and good and right about this land of ours. We went yesterday, an invitation of a neighbor, and had afternoon meal with them. She's a native of Thailand. And her most prized possession, I believe, is framed. It's her certificate of citizenship for this country. She was not native born here. She came here. And she worked and she studied and she learned and she became a citizen. All of us that are native born have no concept of not being an American. There is so much that's good about this land. There's no other place on earth that I want to live the rest of my days than in this country. And yet it does seem to me that perhaps we're in a crisis such as has not been seen since the days during the war between the states. There's so much good, but there's so much that's not right. It seems little need to remunerate these, but just remember and consider for a moment. We don't have one war on our hands today, but two. Afghanistan, Iraq. And on every street corner in the United States, we're at war among ourselves. We build bigger jails to house more people, and 70% of them, when they get out of jail, go right back into jail again. For we don't do anything, really, to change them while we have them locked up. They're homeless in every city, and the number is growing. The nation's debt is such a high figure that I can't even conceive of it. I don't know how many trillions of dollars, how much that is. We're in an economic condition that we've not been in anything like it since the days of the Great Depression when I was a child. With some of the hugest companies, banks, insurance companies failing or almost failing, the largest industrial complex in the world, companies going bankrupt. The homes coming apart at the seams. Epidemics of sexually transmitted diseases. More and more children born out of wedlock. Well, you can go on and on, but I don't think it's necessary. You know these things as well or better than I. But if this isn't a crisis state, I don't know what it would take to get us there. It seems to me that God is calling to us tonight, as He did to Israel through Elijah long ago. If the Lord be God, then serve Him. Stand up for God. This is the area of contest. In Israel, it's between God and Baal, but here in America, it's between God and no God, but self and my own desires and doing my own thing. At Mount Carmel, there was a contest of fire to decide who was God. The people were willing to let the God who answered by fire be God. A great demonstration. The God that answers by fire will be God. Today, the contest, as I see it, is between the forces that bring chaos and confusion and destruction and meaninglessness and death, as opposed to the Lord Jesus, who brings order and hope and love and purpose to life. When the people of Israel at Carmel witnessed the power of God displayed in the fire consuming all upon the altar, they cried out, "The Lord, the Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God," and they chose to follow Him. Today, I know we're small in number here tonight. Most of you have been church members all your life. But today, how many of us will open our eyes afresh and anew and see the futility of life without Jesus as Savior and Lord? How many of us will truly surrender all that we are and have and hope to be to Him? How many will pray for a renewal, a revival of faith in our homes, in our churches, across our land? I do believe that only as we return to God is there any real hope that this nation of ours can long endure as a land of free people. How long are we going to halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. Follow Him. Lord Jesus, I don't like what I've had to say tonight, but I just pray that it's truly something You laid upon my heart, and that every one of us here would make a deeper, a more vital, renewed commitment to follow You in every moment of every day. And we pray, O God, the church would become more effective as Your witnesses, as Your representatives in Your world, as Your peacemakers. Turn us again unto You, O Lord. Turn us again unto You and restore unto us the joy of Your salvation. And we pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.